In addressing the phase in, the act itself applies to all municipalities. So the legal framework is applicable throughout. There are a few sections that have actually been phased in. The one was the supply chain system, the regulations on supply chain. The others was around during the phasing period, the old supply chain system still applied. The phasing around reporting, especially on the transition from the old IMPO accounting standards to the GMAP accounting standards to the GRAP system. That is the reason for the phase-in, but it is still that every municipality must produce its financial statement, and it must be done by within 2 months, the end of the financial year. So there isn't an exemption for any municipality in that regard. The third phase-in relates to one or two sections in the Act where it was discussed that the performance indicator system in a municipality is not ready in place. So in 2004, those were phased in. Now the phase-in period actually ends at the end of this municipal financial year, that is June 2007. So I think that response generally covers the issue around the phase-in of the MSMA. There was a question raised about the roles of the local government departments in the provinces and involved in the financial management and restructuring initiatives. On a quarterly basis, the MSMA coordinators meet at the Treasury. In that meeting, we have SALGA, we have Department of Provincial and Local Government on the national, invited. We have the provincial departments of local governments from the provinces and the treasury as well participating in that. There is a memorandum of understanding between the two departments in the provinces for the implementation of the MFMA and the rollout. There's currently joint budget visits and IDP visits that are taking place in all municipalities. They're being handled throughout. I know it's happening in the Eastern Cape, it's happening in Gauteng, Western Cape. It has happened with the MECs for finance, MECs for local government, and MECs for public works joining hands and visiting all municipalities. So there is that work that is being done in terms of discharging the roles and responsibilities within the different provinces. And we have a note on that as well, because we have done an audit of it last year during August. The next broader question around the Imfuleni and the response on the audit outcome, yes, you are correct. We have not submitted, we have not seen an audit outcome for the last few years. And we expect that there will be qualifications in those audits, given that the weak capacity on the finance side. The next big question arose was the FMG and the restructuring grant, in essence, around targeting for large municipalities. The restructuring grant is meant in terms of the framework in DORA for the large municipalities. There's a threshold set for the restructuring grant. The FMG applies to all municipalities. And it's not demand-driven, it's supply-led. So every municipality will get an allocation for FMG. They don't have to apply, they have just to produce an implementation plan, which we have given all municipalities a template in which to complete that. It's on the Treasury website under the MSMA area. So that helps that everyone gets the funding, or actually eligible for the funding, let's put it that way. The listing of the slow spenders, yes, Chairperson, we will give you that list. We'll arrange for you to have it soon, by next week or so. There's the other issue around compliance and then the percentage of non-compliance. In that list we will provide, it will reflect the details of it. That's covered. There's some of the other issues about proper monitoring. Chairperson and committee members, I think it's very important that if we put a grant in the system, we've got to understand or indicate whether, and especially a capacity building grant of this kind, is whether the capacity has to be built in a national department or in a municipality in this instance. So in striking that balance, we for the financial management grant, we're quite clear to look at the implementation priorities in a municipality and help support that, rather than appointing too many people to manage the grant itself. That will consume perhaps too much out of, and we're not going to get the direct benefits that we need. Coupled with that, though, it's going to be very important that in monitoring and managing the grant, so critical that we have competent people as well in the municipality to report on it. And here I must thank our sister department to help us out to put the regulations in place for competency levels. It's out there now for public comment for 2 months. At least we get inputs, and we would like to engage with this committee as well on that. Then I think the next big one on the others are fine. Chairperson, besides that, there's other support measures like the roving advisors we have in place, the out municipalities to implement. And largely, I think I have covered most of the queries that were raised, but very briefly. Thank you, Chair.
Before Mr. Haneka, there's somebody from National Housing. I'm told that specific interest is sustainable communities and neighborhood development, what. Now, let me just allow them 2 seconds so that before Lee responds, she might also want to respond to the areas maybe they might want to raise in respect of their own interests.
Chairperson, there are no specific areas. We have spoken and will be meeting after this meeting and will be exchanging some...
Who have you spoken to? What about?
Lee. About her presentation?
Tell us then what you told him. Briefly tell us what is it that you talked about.
Basically, Chair, what... Yes. Basically, Chair, we didn't speak much. We did not discuss anything except to request a presentation. But what I note, Chair, is that they are talking about neighborhoods, and the plan for the department is actually focusing on sustainable human settlements, and the department is the department's direction is towards it's moving away from the initial old apartheid planning, where communities were put in areas where there is no economic activity at all. So what they are doing is very much in line with the department's comprehensive plan for human settlements. So I understand that they are a new unit, and Chair, we will be talking very much close, and I will try to sort of link her up with the policy section of the department, because I'm from financial services. So that's what we have so far discussed, Chair. With regard to DBSA, I have spoken to them already, Chair, and I have found that they are working on a number of areas where they are anticipating housing projects and funding housing projects. So with regard to the Western Cape, Chair, I have already linked them up with somebody from the department who is in charge of the M2 Gateway project. I've given them their details, so as from now on, they will be talking to that person. I've also found out, Chair, that they have not as yet discussed anything with the provincial housing department. So I'll be trying to link them up with the provincial department, so that they can be able to exchange plans and talk together. That's what we have discussed, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. No, we're raising this precisely because these issues of integration are critical. And also, people should start. We must actually turn our new fingers now. As all of these issues are raised, we must find a way. who become the centers of coordination. It's not about tests, really. It's about how do we all work in such a manner that we achieve all of these things. So, is it fine then, Mr. Seneca?
There were quite a number of questions. I counted 13, although I might have missed one or two in between, and I'm sure I don't want to take up your entire afternoon. So let me try and respond by saying that there were questions around institutional capacity, both within Treasury as well as at a municipal level. There were strategic questions, and then there were questions around operational and workflow issues. And perhaps it might be useful to come back with a presentation that tries to give you the full picture at perhaps the next session, and just to try and pick up on some of the questions now and provide some answers. So firstly, in terms of the Treasury's resources to implement this particular grant, the program unit, yes, only had 1.5 people the last time we met, but we now have 3 directors on board, and that started in January, and the fourth one will be joining us at actually on Thursday. There will be quite a number of additional resources that will be required, which flow out of the business planning exercise we've just recently completed and which we're finalizing. And part of the institutional resources to implement this grant involve a number of partnerships with organizations like DPLG, Very Likely Housing, DBSA, and the HSRC, and so on. So we will come back with more information around that. The next question related to municipal capacity, which is perhaps something a little bit different, and where are the applications coming from and so on. Quite a mixed bag, IDP officers, municipal managers, CFOs, planning people, engineers, etc. have submitted applications on behalf of their councils. And what we've tried to do is encourage, especially the bigger and more active municipalities, not necessarily big, is for them to put together an NDPG coordination team. Because what we were finding is that sometimes up to 15 or 16 different officials were contacting us about the grant, and perhaps not applying it in a more strategic way for their municipal area. We are seeing that there is a breadth and depth of lack of urban development skills. And that's one of the things we'd like to try and tackle, although that might be a little bit beyond our brief, but we're looking at, for example, engaging closer with organizations like SAPI, the South African Planning Institute, to look at how we can get the quality and the breadth and depth and so on of these urban development skills going up more. One of the things we have found, which was relates to municipal capacity, but it perhaps at a different level, at a policy level, is that there's very little emphasis in IDPs on township future-orientated development. Now, that, of course, will then translate into the skills that the council packs around them in order to implement various initiatives. And, for example, what we've done is injected our own technical assistance into some municipal areas to help them put their project together in a more articulate way so that they can now start driving that particular project forward. So we've gone and done site visits, we've brought in if they need an economist or an urban development spatial expert, just to come and start brainstorming how they can actually take this project forward so that it is in alignment with the goals of the NDPG. The next question was quite a project specific one, which related to Bridge City in Etiquini. Yes, that is one of our initiatives, and some funding will be directed towards certain elements of that project, perhaps not as much as one would see in others. Because the private sector and the council are really very far advanced in that project, and certainly in terms of making funding allocations available for it. I think what's more important is that through the discussions we had with Etiquini, the emphasis on Kwamashu as a neighbouring brownfield project would be further reinforced to look at much stronger linkages between Kwamashu and the rest of Etiquini, and not just focus on one project that would then, of course, be to the detriment of its neighbour. The next question related to cash flow management and allocations, and this was how come we presented a budget that was in excess of what we had available the last time round. And at the last presentation, we mentioned that there was a requirement for about 68, 69 million rand worth of technical assistance. And in discussion with each of the project owners and the verification process, what we've managed to do is negotiate with municipalities to split technical assistance over a number of years. So we've managed to then maintain our budget, but also to make sure that there's adequate technical assistance. Because what we also found in the verification process is that many councils were underestimating the amount of technical assistance required. So for one example, the municipal capacity issue that was raised earlier could be addressed through the application of technical assistance to increase project management capacity to drive these projects. And then finally, the question around Limpopo specifically, I think really alludes to a wider evaluation process and how one selects projects. So just on the first score around Limpopo, I have no doubt that Limpopo will be represented, as will all the provinces in the final portfolio of projects going forward. But secondly, that there's a number of criteria that projects are matched against, and they compete with each other. So you may well find when you interrogate Limpopo's applications that they might not have been bad applications, but they weren't in the top 35. So this time around, we will try and make sure that provinces that are not represented, or major cities, for example, that might not be represented, would get some slight preferential scoring to help them bring their projects up. And if we need to deal with capacity issues again, we will find ways to actually go out there and make those projects substantial. I think that answers the bulk of the question. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I'll like to request that the two guys, the two gentlemen, pardon me, Chair. The two chairs, for the two gentlemen, respond to the questions, and then I'll add whatever they have left at the end. We'll start with them as they do. Thank you.
Chairperson is the guy that will start. Chair, there's a number of questions that have been raised, and this guy is tricky. Okay, Chair, there were a number of questions that were raised, and I think one area was why Eastern Cape and Northwest are low on the projections in terms of expenditure. And one of the key reasons, like as indicated, is the issue around the reporting. We haven't received the reports from Northwest and Eastern Cape. That's what we find in January. For December purposes, we didn't receive the report. So we capture what we received on the report and follow-up. So particularly what is going to happen is that on the follow-up that we're making, we then begin to generate this report. And also that is augmented by the quarterly review meeting. But you see, during the course of the month, you're expecting on a monthly basis the reporting on the expenditure. So as we were capturing for that period, we didn't have enough of the reports from Eastern Cape and Northwest. So that is why, you know, they are low on that expenditure. On the issue around the annual report and in relation to MSMA, I think one thing for sure that we should take note is that the MSIG is a conditional grant. And it being a conditional grant, there are certain conditions. And one of the conditions is that, obviously, once you're given the money, you must account, send monthly reports and tell us how you're using the money itself. Obviously, you start with the activity plan of what you're going to be doing. So on that particular note, also, you find in terms of the Distance of Revenue Act on Section 27, there are duties of the receiving officer, where it explains very clear, as a receiving officer, once you receive the money, these are the responsibilities that goes with that receipt. And therefore, in terms of Section 71, obviously, it also says that irrespective of that, Section 71 in the Municipal Finance Management Act, the municipality must also send the report as per that condition to the national transferring officer. So that is how this whole entire exercise came into being, that we also received. It's a one-page, a two-pager kind of a report. And therefore, they are compulsory as a condition. So if you don't meet them, then it means it's a material breach of that of the Distance of Revenue Act.
The other question that was raised was the issue around expenditure. We're not necessarily, I'm sorry if maybe the impression was that maybe we are so happy with expenditure. We're not necessarily happy with expenditure as such. I think what we're just trying to look at comparing ourselves with the previous situation, that we actually, you know, recognize these improvements, but we want more. That's why I think we got so excited when we think we will prepare the list of all these municipalities that are underperforming, also that are not reporting, so that at least also from your side, you could really also put some bit of pressure. Just the last time we were here, when we wrote this letter, we said, otherwise you'll become a candidate to be called to come and account by the select committee. And that's when things started to move. And obviously, if you see them physically, obviously you're going to assist us. I must be honest in terms of that. We're just trying to see what we can collectively integrate in terms of our process. And the other issue of the capacity to monitor, I think what is important at this stage is that at least we know who is underperforming, who is performing. And I think for us that becomes very critical. At least we know, we can even provide that information to this person, because that's how far we are monitoring them. But also, we also acknowledge that the issue around monitoring the implementation of the project is also very critical for us to then begin to look. But then you have, on the output, on the framework, you have a number of areas that I think we need to still, you know, strengthen in terms of saying, those that are having IDP projects, those that are having, because we have different, you know, departments. So therefore, how do we integrate that and make sure that, you know, when we come up with a report, we come up with one report as such. So in terms of you know, the variance and the timing of the project, like I said, the municipal financial year and the national year. So it is indeed a reality that, you know, you'll find that towards March from our side, we are told, this is how far, we say this is how far we'll spend, but obviously we still have 3 months in terms of the municipality having to spend that. So we're just also trying to take cognizance of that. So we're trying to improve also our analysis in terms of checking which projects particularly would then be, you know, transcending into the next 3 months, so that at least we can check. Chairperson, the issue raised that there is a potential for underspending. So we should be in a position to understand to what extent is that potential really in that instance. So there was an issue raised in terms of, you know, having to operate in silos, especially around the LED. And I think from the MSRG perspective, the LED part of it, we engage with it on the basis of the strategies, putting LED policies for the system, from the municipal system improvement grant. So, hence I'm saying we're not necessarily much more in the real project, but it's more like, do you have an LED strategy? They don't have. Therefore, we say you can utilize the funds to then begin to put one strategy in place. So, around the work committees, as we give the municipalities the discretion, we just give them the 4 areas and they have to tell us what are their priorities as such, because we don't want to come being from a supply driven, we sometimes also ask them to give us the project. So you'll find that many of them, they will identify this work committee training and understand it's an investment, but on the other side, the challenge they always relate is that we just keep on, because we train them and tomorrow the work committee person changes and so on, so far they keep on training. But we also believe, that's why I said we need to then begin to also look at the, you know, the training itself in terms of how many people are being trained, especially around the world. But those trainings are actually, you'll never find a business plan that does not have, you know, what committee training. And that, I think, goes with what the council then resolves to say we need to do. The role of the Department of Local Government, very important. We actually recognize them. So we every time when we sit in a quarterly review meeting, we sit with them and begin to explain to them, these are the kind of, anyway, we actually present the list of municipalities that are underperforming and all those sorts of, so that they can integrate that within their monitoring regime. So the only challenge we are finding is that we agree every time, and sometimes things doesn't really happen the way, and obviously they don't have any, but they say, look, MSIG comes directly from national to the municipality. So, you know, that particular link. So we're trying to ensure that when we receive all the activity plans, we analyze them and say so much money goes to IDP, so much money goes to this. And so we sit with them before anything happens to say, guys, these are the kind of things that are really happening. So how far have you planned for this project so that we avoid some duplications here and there? Some provinces, of course, we even try to pilot sort of trying to see if we can come up to concrete terms. I'm not even sure whether the MOU would assist us with KZN. So KZN is the one that is enthusiastically moving on and beginning to want to have interest in the MSIG. They're even monitoring on a monthly basis as they go out with their people, they bring that information. So we can just support the information from the province and what we receive from the municipality to try and check the, the accuracy there. So, but we're pursuing all the departments to just get this close relationship. Because some say they don't have money, but we're saying you don't have money, here is money that these guys are having. So why can't we then begin to use this money to advance some of these projects? So, yeah, I think I was trying to respond. I think that these are the kind of questions that I've actually, noted. And with the holding chair, I think we like currently we went down. And the one
just before the
okay.
Treasury wants to run away, and I've agreed. What we must then do is, look, they've given us very useful information. We might want to have some one-day engagement kind of workshop, and maybe yourself on the Local Government Municipal Management Act, draft municipal regulation on minimum competence level. We might want to have a workshop. It would be nice because the PP is only the Eastern Cape that has it. It would also be nice for them to have a workshop on this so that as they start engaging with municipalities, there's some understanding. But also the draft municipal regulations on debt disclosure. So I'm just saying we might want to. I know people from Pretoria do not want to come to Cape Town all the time, especially to the Select Committee on Finance. But I'm just saying, these are very, very critical pieces of regulation. We don't want to take chances. Have some form of workshop so that all of us are at one. And as we might want to, I mean, look at public hearings, I'm not sure. But I'm just saying, broadly, just members of the committee would be interested in really going through this regulation, but in some form of workshop. So I'm saying as you go, just go and think about those things. You might want to do that kind of a workshop. We might want to have a joint workshop with the committees of the provinces you might invite. I'm just saying the Eastern Cape is fortunate that they already are going to take the copies with them and start looking at the copies and start picking up some issues. I mean, there's the acting chair of finance, but also his chair of chairs, and there's also the chairperson of local government. They must start looking at some of these things and might start to comment. I mean, seek comments from municipalities themselves. Therefore, we might want to do that. I'm not sure when. I'll also talk to them. They might have a date. Some things you might start working out having just to start preparing on those matters. MIG?
Chair, can I just request also that the lady also respond to some of the questions?
Yeah, people forgot about it. Oh, that's my friend.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to respond to the questions that were raised. The first one was the issue around the MIG allocation that is not like reflective of the population and some demographic figures at municipal level. In terms of the MIG allocation, it's allocated according to the formula. It's formula based. Now, the formula consider the backlog in basic services, like how many people who don't have access to water, access to sanitation, and so on. So that is one parameter that is being used in the formula. And the other one is the poverty level. And currently, the formula is looking at the expenditure levels, like households that are spending about 1,100 and less, to try also to channel the money where they are poor households. And the MIG fund also is allocated to the 5% that is allocated to the nodal municipalities, or those municipalities that were identified as center nodes. Now, sometimes when you look at the like two districts, you may realize that the other one has got higher number in terms of population, but the other one may be another district, and definitely it will receive more because of the nodal status that is allocated to the that district. So, however, there were a lot of issues that were raised with regard to the allocation formula for NIC. Municipalities, METROS raised issues to say they are the receiving end of this municipality, like from people who come from rural areas seeking for job opportunities, and then they become backlogged. And then rural municipalities also, they said they don't have capacity to raise revenue, so they need to be considered in terms of the formula. So we are currently finalizing the review of the formula to incorporate all the inputs that we received from all the stakeholders. And I think in the near future we'll be able to also present the results of the formula. The issue around the list of municipalities, I think that one we did provide, but we will still try to give some more information with regard to the list of affected municipalities. And there's also a web document that is giving the comprehensive report in terms of the progress with regard to the municipal infrastructure grant. We will then provide the information. There was the issue around forfeiting, municipalities forfeiting money because of understanding. I think it's a serious issue that we also, it was a difficult one for us to deal with, because we were saying the MIG funds are allocated according to the backlogs in this municipality. Now, if these funds are not spent and we take the money away, what about the backlogs in that municipality? So it's something that we really considered on a serious note. But we had also the problem to say, but even if this money, you leave it there, you don't take it away, it's just lying in the municipal bank account, not being used. But there is somebody next door who's showing seriousness in terms of eradicating backlogs. And they're saying, I don't have funding, I have money. And we felt that I think it's better for the accounting officers to start accounting in terms of the funds allocated to particular municipalities. And when we implement the Division of Revenue Act, and I think that's how they are going to account, because they have to account to say why money has to be taken away while it was allocated to this municipality. And by the way, it will also help them to start performing what they need to perform. And we also considered the fact that some backlogs like bucket eradication with the target dates that are just around the corner. That's why we allocated a lot of money from the reallocated funds for the municipalities that are ready to eradicate buckets by December. And those municipalities indicated that they will be able to eradicate the bucket once they get this funding. There was the issue around the project registration that takes 18 months to finalize. In terms of this, in fact, actually, it takes 18 months for a project to be completed from the identification because of number of processes that need to take place, considering issues around environmental impact assessment that can take about 6 months. The supply chain management that can take about 3 months. Issues around technical reports where technical department also look at some technical regulatory issues. So all these processes we did study and we found that it can take about 18 months. And as a result of that, that's why we had to now try to capacitate municipalities to start planning in advance, because part of the under expenditure is as a result of trying to start all the planning processes during the year of implementation instead of doing this thing long in advance. So a number of municipalities have now shown this. And in the slide that we presented to you with regard to commitment, now they are showing that some are now committing the last financial year and some are fully committed for the next 3 years. So what they just need to do is just to put this information into implementable stages. And we also realize that when you go to municipalities, they always say a lot of things. And when we go to them, because we have information, they will then tell us, no, but the cultural decisions take time. Sometimes they reprioritize the projects that are already in the system. And they say, we want to do new projects and all those. So those are the information that we don't have. But because we know their level of commitment, and we say, but you have projects, you are not spending the money. So they then tell us other things. But I can tell you that we are very thankful for this committee. After we presented last year, the committee visited municipalities in Northwest. So Northwest was the worst performing municipalities, and we can tell you today is the second best performer in terms of after the work that was done there. So it's quite important to note that. In terms of the capacity, I think we have a serious problem with regard to capacity at sector departments and capacity at provinces. So it's something that we have already started dealing with. We used to have, when the grant started, there was a grant called Project Management Capacity for me. So that grant used to be allocated to provinces. So a number of them had consultants that were running around the country helping municipalities. Now, KwaZulu-Natal was also depending on those consultants. But that grant was withdrawn, and provinces find themselves without having funding to extend the program. As a result, KwaZulu-Natal, they have to deal with a number of municipalities from the provincial level without those consultants. And I think the problem that we have now in the current financial year are in KwaZulu-Natal. There are about three or four people who are dealing, managing the MIG program in the department. So they lost that consultancy that we're using to help municipalities. So as a result, I think there's quite a need for provinces to also take up capacity. Now, there are provinces that are good examples in terms of this. Gauteng, they decided that from next year they are going to have about 30 engineers. So the qualified engineers. And they are going to have 15 graduates. And they will also have some students so that they can help municipalities to capacitate municipalities. I mean, Gauteng, the number of municipalities is very low compared to KwaZulu-Natal. And Limpopo, also they are following that example. They are going to appoint project managers for each and every municipality to manage MIG projects. So I think that is really commendable, but we also ask other provinces to follow. So this is the issue that we also address it in technical MINMEC so that they can also try to go and capacitate themselves. With regard to the issue around I think I'm done with the, all the questions that were raised.
I just want to, I think the colleagues have adequately addressed them, just to raise two points. One is on the questions related to chances of spending or underspending. What do we do when we have transferred funds when we know that the municipalities don't have capacity? It is about budget allocation being aligned to the capacity of a particular province or particular municipality. And the point you raised, Chair, on the question around fiscal capacity and efficiency. I think it's a broader discussion that we have had with this committee early last year and around the time last year and late last year. It's the question of how we have structured our financing instruments through our fiscal transfer system. And that is that we have conditional grants because we have national objectives that we are trying to pursue, and in pursuing them we have to attach certain conditions for those things to happen. Now, we sit in this department in a position where we don't normally know whether the best thing is to withhold, because when you withhold, you are in fact strangling the municipality. So we always have to balance the two kinds of evils. As I was saying this morning, the point that you have reached with me, where we are now reallocating, was took quite a lot of effort, but effort that we realize is critical because it still adds to the overall national program of action and our national target. It doesn't mean that by reallocating, we will not, in the end, reach the targets that we have set as a country. So it is how we balance these things. The other point, Chair, that I would like to allude to is the point that my colleagues also mentioned. It's around, you know, we have our system requires that we plan together, we implement together, and assumes that as we do that, the capacity across the spheres and the entities is at a level platform. The truth is that it is not. And as you implement, you realize that there are challenges at province, there are challenges with entities, there are all these different challenges that require us to coordinate. And coordinating is a very loose term when we talk. As you implement, it is actually very, very difficult to coordinate. And our system is based on concerted coordination. So as you make us account, we also appeal to you, as you have done in the previous years, make the municipal managers account as well. Make the receiving institutions, the receiving spheres account. We can account. We can easily transfer the 200 million, we can transfer the 6 billion, but that accountability, we have extended to not just transferring, but to also ensuring that we provide direct and some support so that municipalities are in a better position to spend. So we really welcome this opportunity because it helps us share with you some of these challenges, and then you can also allow yourself to engage with those municipalities. Thank you.
No, you're right, Madam Makondogon. That is why we want this list. Because, for now, what your colleague raises about the money that are going to be allocated is very critical. It means we must not just talk to you, we must also call them to be able to say we are ready. They must come and commit themselves so that we shall then have a program of monitoring in the next quarter up to maybe September. How far are they moving? But maybe we might also want to be a bit brutal and just say, in terms of your performance in the last 2-3 years, you've not been doing these things. I understand the issues. I mean, there are very emotional issues that you're raising in terms of the balance and what have you. We were also faced with that thing when we were passing DORA last year. Members of the committee were saying, but withholding is a problem because communities are suffering. But now, having worked with departments the way we have, we are seeing, no, there's a problem. There's one danger. And that danger, we've got to take consciously this danger, and this is why we're saying we might want to amend the plan. Is that for a long time now, money is sitting in banks, and communities are suffering. Well, what's the use of giving out money when people are suffering? When in fact you could just take the money, reallocate to people that are performing, so that who are not performing must go and tell people that we are not able to perform. That's the bottom line. So clearly there's a whole range of things that we must be looking at here. But then we will really take care of what you are saying. It is correct. We will have to call them to talk to us. And DBFA, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We'll gallop through the questions. The team will add if I leave anything. The first question by Honorable Sokon was that we seem to be allocating a lot of resources to urban areas as opposed to rural areas. And that would be correct if we talk about the overall bank. But if you look into our own projects, that is not true. Oh. Okay. Was it honorable? Okay. But the reality of the matter is, we have actually moved to the opposite direction to actually defy the crude interpretation of the National Spatial Development Perspective, which basically says invest where there's economic opportunities and potential and put basic infrastructure where there's none. And we start to build on the subtle content of that framework, which says that you build on the potential of the individual area. So we're focusing more at the bottom end of the municipality. If you look into all our projects, whether it is in a metro or in a town, if we go to Johannesburg, we'll go to Diepsloot, because that's where the reflection of poverty is within that metro. And if you look into all the other four sites, they're all in rural towns, whether it is Palaburwa, whether it is Tabaswe, Ukhraboy, Zintieva, Batetskuov, all of those towns are rural towns. So we are going to add the rural pilot project, which will be taking into account the other area that has been left out, the actual rural villages. That is where the six new projects are going to be looking into. How to take rural villages and incorporate into an economic node around the rural town and integrate that development. Not isolate them. One of the things that we looked into, for example, the potential of milk converted into economic value in a rural area. Almost every household in a rural area has a cow or two or three or ten. But that is not converted into value. It is thrown away if there is surplus. So we're going to look into those details in the rural pilot. That's why I was talking about converting what is regarded as dead assets and actual mainstream. That is the essence of that project. And therefore, we just wanted to emphasize that we're not focusing there, because the bank already is doing a lot of work in the metros and so forth, because that's where the sustainability is. So we're focusing, because our responsibility in our division is to actually focus at the bottom end and actually do market development in the process. That small municipality that nobody looked at must be a very good municipality that performs, that can actually even raise loans in terms of use all the money, be able to access MIG funding and need more to do development. If that is the case, that will be the bonus for us. When it comes to organizing people, I think the honorable member she has left now, they didn't listen carefully when we talked about the social compact, because the social compact is the most important component of our project. We start with it. We don't go on into rolling out any infrastructure in any area unless we have completed the phase of social compact, where there is buy-in. And we make that a requirement for every project that we go into. And the reason for that is because we piloted in a smaller scale. In two sites, for example, Franschhoek is one example. If you go to Franschhoek, you'll see the impact of social compact. If you go to productive community, you'll see the impact of social compact. So we're not just theorizing about social compact. We know that it is important to have that community ownership, because if it's not there, it's not going to work. That's why in developing the theoretical framework around it, we are working very closely with the Sustainability Institute, which is based in Stellenbosch, which has actually done a lot of research in that area, and we're integrating our work with what they are doing, and it is giving us the results. So in every project that we've been, you will see that you can go to Krabo, you see that we say our planning will end up in March and social compact will end up in March. So that by the time we get into implementation, there is a total buy-in in that community. The presidential node. If you look into all those projects, they are all based, if you link what we're doing with what Sian Zamani is doing and with what Bulindela Academy, the bank, is doing, you'll see that the selection of sites is based on the DPLG selection of project consolidated. We're not doing anything of our own. We look into DPLG, we target same municipalities that are seen as struggling municipalities. We don't want to get out of that. That's why we see it as important on our part to always talk to DPLG. It doesn't matter how difficult it can be, we must always go and compare notes there. I'm repeating this. Sometimes it's difficult. sometimes those guys are very difficult. But to us, we don't see it as a choice. It's not a choice, it's a must be done exercise. Whether it is painful or not, we must Because if we do other things, we're going to compete. That takes me to the next question of duplication. After all, what is reflected in our presentation is that we're trying to avoid duplication as much as we can. But we're also wanting to highlight as clear and as transparent as we can every time we crowd in public funding from other sources. And that's why we also highlight the crowding in of private sector investment. So that it is not just when you look into a project, it is not a purely DBSA project. We're drawn in from the neighborhood development program, we have partnership, we're pulled into housing projects in the Eastern Cape. But when we present, we want to highlight it so that there is a transparent linkage with all these projects, that it is about crowding in all those things into fulfilling the development imperatives and objectives. That if we pull those resources, that's why when I ended my presentation last time, I said, if we pull resources together, the impact is going to be more visible. At one point or another, Honorable Chairperson, we'll be giving you what we're beginning to look into, that when we do a project evaluation, we should move deeper from that process evaluation, which is just looking into process and outcome evaluation, into an in-depth evaluation of development impact. And when we do that, we came to a conclusion that it is going to be costly, time-consuming, needing more resources. But if you want to look into development impact, you must look into the collective impact of various projects in a particular space, including projects that are, if you have DBSA projects, DBLG projects, and then ESCOM projects, what is the overall impact of those projects? Because if you just look into individual projects, you can't quantify that development impact. But if you do an in-depth, drill-down development impact for that special area, you can actually have a sense of the development impact. Because the sense that we're beginning to pick up is that if we're not doing that, we'll always exaggerate the extent of poverty in a particular area, because we just look narrowly in our own project, but in that space there is more development that is happening. So we are not duplicating, we are actually trying to link up with other projects and actually reflect them transparently. That's why we'll say 6 million from National Treasury, so much from this amount from this amount from this. So that you can see that it is not about duplication. If the neighborhood development partnership give us money for spatial planning, we redirect our own grants to something else. But let me finish off by talking about this thing of withholding. Actually, it's a problem for everybody. For example, I remember we're talking about taking away about 70 million of grant funding in the Eastern Cape. 70 million. Because people sit with money for 2 years, they're not spending it. It's grant money. And our thing is very simple. If you can't use grant money, it means even if you are sick, you are not drinking the medicine. You want sympathy that you are sick. Because it's grant money. You are given this money to actually pull yourself out of trouble. You don't drink the medicine. You want everybody to sympathize with you that you are sick. Actually, if you are a cow, we would slaughter you after on the spot.
Okay. As a submission, we might want to come back to. We'll just go back to our notes of this last week. In respect of MIG, it's a pity we're not able to just think of it now offhand. Because people were talking about some problems of subterranean issues that they are building infrastructure, etc. Now we want to look at our notes properly so that we shall bring that to your attention. We want to raise that precisely because it looks like again there are some constraints. Yeah, it was growth and housing. So don't worry about this. When we discuss in Zora, we will come back to that discussion. We will bring it to your attention. We will just consult our notes properly, just to say exactly. Because we also did say to them, they must write that and give us a proper written submission. So that as you are also dealing with issues of disbursements and other things, you might have that in mind for respective mutualities. It seems it's creating some problems in delivery. Electricity.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I would just like to make contributions on 4 points that were raised. The first one, Chair, is to apologize to the Honorable Member about the apparent empty report by ESCOM. I think our approach was blinded by the brief that we got in terms of proving compliance to DORA. And also we're aware that Department of Minerals and Energy on Wednesday is presenting to the committee a progress report on National Electrification Program. So we didn't think it necessary to repeat some of the facts. But should there be a requirement after Wednesday or further information, we'll be more than happy to comply, Chairperson, to actually give further information. And also the file, there might not be necessary to get a lawyer to compile. The purpose of the file was just to prove that in terms of the compliance and reporting as Fedora, that's actually happening, and we do have proof that backs that up. But nothing more than that. And after Wednesday, if there is need for more information, we will gladly comply. The second issue, Chair, is the issue on the service delivery agreement, the SDA. We are in constant discussions with Treasury. Unfortunately, they have left as well, but we constantly revise the SDA to try and enhance and improve its relevance. Two cornerstones for the SDA. One is to regulate the provision of services to municipalities or to anybody who is using the fiscal fund to make sure that both in cost and in quality, the receivers of that service actually get good returns for the amount spent. From an ESCOM perspective, there's two areas where we are using funds from the fiscal. One of those is electrification, and then the second one is free basic electricity. And we go out of our way to make sure that we comply in terms of the SDA as far as those funds are concerned. Starting with the electrification, we've got a very robust contract with the Department of Minerals and Energy. Together with, they've got a little committee called the NEAC, National Electrification Advisory Committee, which is chaired by the DDG of Minerals and Energy, and in the committee you've got National Treasury, SALGA, ANEU, ESCOM, DPE, you know, DPE, and all the other role players. And in that committee, that's where the rollout of the National Education Plan and the contracting is actually debated, so that we make sure that we've got a contract that encompasses everybody. We also avoid to have different contracts per municipality or per province. Those contracts are negotiated at that level, and we get a buy-in nationally, and thereafter it's a question of rolling out the same format or the same pro forma across the country. A similar situation exists for free basic electricity, where we've got a committee chaired by National Treasury, and members there are again DPLG, DME, DPE, SALGA, and ESCOM. And again, we knock out a contract that protects all the parties, and we also even agree on the cents per kilowatt, cents per unit, that will be paid for free basic electricity. Once that contract is then agreed nationally, all municipalities are expected to implement exactly the same contract, because again we are avoiding having to negotiate with each municipality a special contract. So Chair, through those national committees for electricity and free basic electricity, there is a forum that actually knocks out an SDA specifically for those services, and it is those contracts that ESCOM uses. So although we don't call it an SDA per se, anywhere where we provide electrification or free basic electricity, we'll provide it according to those rules and according to those contracts. and all the issues are covered in that. Third issue, Chair, I'd like to comment on is the involvement in the IDPs, Integrated Development Plans. It is true that every year there is always more demand on electrification projects than there is funding. And because of that, we've developed a mechanism on how to determine which projects are done for what amount and in what phasing. Those forums we use are either the IDP forums, meetings. We've also got what we call energy forums, both at municipality and at provinces. And in most municipalities, those are chaired by the MEC of a local government in that province, or, you know, then the official within the municipality. And the idea there is to put the demand and look at what budget we've got, because I'm sure it's common knowledge to this committee that electrification funding comes from the fiscal. Eskom pays its taxes into the pool, and then every year we actually apply for the fund. And whatever we get is what we have to live with in terms of the rollout of electrification. Now, because of the gap, we use this forum to ration what projects should be done in that. And in order not to be a point and finger at in terms of unilaterally deciding what projects are done, we use these IDPs, energy forums, and provision forums. So we are actually on the ground debating with the municipalities and agreeing per project which of those projects will be done. And once those are done, we then demand a letter co-signed by Eskom and the relevant municipality to say that that project will be done during that year. So we are on the ground as far as IDPs are concerned, and that letter that we demand before a project commences is a proof that there's been agreement of what projects are to be done during that financial year. So we are considering all of those factors. And then the last input, Chair, was on the distance by electricity users to the nearest vendor so that they can buy tokens to load onto their machines. Our design standard, which we not always meet, is that for every 3 kilometers or for every 3,000 customers, there must be one vendor to be able to be within proximity for the customers to buy the tokens. It is true that as we grow our program, people are getting further and further away, but when it starts making economic sense, we then appoint new vendors to sell tokens. Good news is that we are rolling out a new information system, which we call online vending, which will allow customers to buy electricity wherever they are in the country. So in Cape Town, you can buy your grandma in Johannesburg from any Eskom office or any Eskom vendor. But what that entails is for us to have a system that every vendor can access the database and be able to retrieve the data of whatever customer in whatever area. The reason in the past that we couldn't do that is that the customer details for Eastern Cape will only be available in the Eastern Cape or within the town neighboring that. We didn't have the capacity that we can reflect that information elsewhere. And once we're in that technology, Chair, the issue of a number of vending stations is going to be history, because you can then buy either over the cell phone or wherever there is an Eskom office without having to count how many vendors. We're hoping that we will roll this out before the end of this year, and then we'll have a universal universal access to our vending system. But for now, I accept there might be areas where vending stations are a little bit far. Chairperson, those were the four key ones I thought I would respond to. If anything else, we'll respond after Wednesday once Minerals and Energy have addressed electrification. Thank you, Chair.
No, you're right, because Minerals and Energy is going to respond to the NEP 977 million rand this financial year. The new money is 1 billion plus. Now, we're not going to ask you then questions that the DME is going to respond to tomorrow. I mean to say Wednesday, not tomorrow. Because I see the program says we'll have a meeting now Wednesday. Let's then thank.
Okay.
You must listen to the young man. Eva, are you training with old equipment? This is the problem, yeah. Fine. I think let's thank the stakeholders. Really. It does appear that there is a strong attempt to hinder this. Mr. Mandasha says, which I think is also useful, issues of transparency, because one of the problems is forever. And these are some of the things we always pick up and raise Madam Makotoko and your team. And that really concern us. You are both here sometimes, which is good, DBSA and yourself. You go to municipalities. First problem is that they have not exhausted the equitable share. Second problem, they have not exhausted the MIG, all the conditional. They then rush to DBSA for loans. Now, this is the kind of a problem we really are worried about. I mean, the good thing about the report you gave us today on MIG is the formula we've always been worried about. Now, it is clear now to us. In fact, this is what we've always been saying. It then becomes difficult to do oversight on MIG. Now this report is clean. It says 70% sanitation. And that's what we've got to look for at municipalities, etc., etc., etc. 2 weeks ago we were raising this same question with provincial departments of roads. And we're saying to them, but why are you giving us money to municipalities when MIG is covering this? Now we are clear. Clear the 23% for roads. Matt Ford was also talking about some other things that they are doing. Saying, but again, there is. Now we clear now because those are some of the matters we really wanted to clarify with yourselves. We are happy that you really have clarified MIG now. Because we were really worried and we were saying, well, it's a lump sum that everybody just uses willy-nilly. And so clearly we've got to, as we go to municipalities now, to say, you were given this amount of MIG funding. And so much percentage relates to this aspect and this and this. How much of that have you used? In other words, we must try and quantify and measure, therefore, the outcome of the thing. But also, as they start running to the DBSA, they must then be able to say, no, we were given this large amount of MIG and we used it on this particular issue. So the issue you are raising therefore is very critical that those managers and mayors must also come and appear. You know, yesterday I was at the East London Airport. I met this young chap who said to me, man, this is the old man who's always bashing the municipalities for not doing what they must do. So, I'm saying we've got to call them then, so that we bash them. This is the, so that people must then see that we're kind of bashing them. So clearly, let's really strengthen this relationship in the action partnership. It would be nice, again, as we were saying, these projects are critical. Where are they sustainability? Because one of the things we want to raise, to discuss about, for instance, when we go to provinces on DBSA projects, we do want to involve provincial stakeholders and local government. Precisely because we are saying GBSA is putting a foundation. They would not be there forever. But then the partnership must grow. And therefore, in the context of building economies, GPLC will also not be there all the time. Then let's put in place frameworks and structures that are very much sustainable. And that is why we're very much interested in the electricity provider ensuring that they comply, especially with this piece of legislation. We're not yet speaking about, I know my colleagues were angry about this, we're not yet speaking about your outcomes. And your outcomes are coming out too on Wednesday, when DM is here. What is critical about you now is whether you are aligning for now. And again, as I was saying earlier, municipalities that we spoke to say you are not aligning. And maybe that is, I think GPLC should also be concerned about that. GPSA should be concerned about that. All of us should be concerned. If one of us is not aligning, just in terms of the Structures Act, Systems Act, and all the pieces of legislation that we have. Is there anybody who have a matter of life and death? Even though you're not on the death row, just a matter of life and death. Your last word? None, eh? Good. Give me a This is a problem that we have. This colleague is speaking on behalf of a tribe in the Eastern Cape, the Baga community. So as you strive to eradicate Baga, you must also understand that you're threatening communities in terms of jobs. It's a serious matter that you've not thought through the consequences of this matter. So you must be critical about this. Having said that, can we again thank our own colleagues from the Eastern Cape and just see how we strengthen this interaction, just information, especially sharing of information with that province, the Eastern Cape. We were saying some time back, the Eastern Cape is our special project, and we do want to ensure that the Eastern Cape is strengthened in terms of all the issues, governance, etc., etc. We were talking to Mr. Nazo earlier on. He does not know that there is a project on, what are those things? So called? The rabbit project. He does not know about the rabbit project in Kamahuk. It's a poverty alleviation project. Production of rabbits, etc., etc. Now somebody was saying, but where on earth have you ever seen people eat rabbits? So there's a whole range of projects in that province that the bank is involved in. Some people do not know. Can we ask them? Until next time.